As you're being situated, please turn to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 of the first chapter of Jonah. And as we consider these verses this morning, I would like to look at the first part of this lesson. There's actually four things that Jonah's circumstances taught him about his relationship with God. We don't want to look at our circumstances and make that the definitive guide nor arbiter of what's right and wrong or what's going on. We'll talk more about that next week, Lord willing, but we have to be careful as we assess our circumstances. However, ignoring our circumstances as if they have little influence on our relationship with God or what's going on with Him is a ditch on the other side of the road. So we want to pay attention to what circumstances God is allowing us to walk through, because they are indicators of something about our relationship with God. We just don't want to overemphasize them. So let's look at what Jonah's circumstances taught him. And the first lesson comes from verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now sometimes, if you're like me, you can read all the words of a text and you can just get sidetracked. Like, where's Tarshish? And where did he get the money to pay the fare? I wonder how much the fare was. And you can have all of these extraneous thoughts and maybe miss the point. I tend to be a person who, when there needs to be a tooth cleaning, I'm doing root canals. I've been accused of building watches when someone just asks for the time. So I can get pretty interested in a lot of things that are there, but maybe aren't the most important thing. So what I'd like to do is just simply look at three phrases in these verses, taking out the ones that maybe we could get sidetracked on, and listen to the truth. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. But Jonah rose to flee. He fled away from the presence of the Lord. Now, when we take out all of the words in between and just focus on the priority of those phrases, there's just three of them, we get a different picture, we get a truer picture of what's really going on. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So, Jonah is receiving what? Communication from God. Now, it's different than we get. He actually heard the voice of the Lord. So the Lord is communicating His word to Jonah. Jonah, I don't believe, liked what he heard. And so he rose to flee away from the presence of the Lord. So let's see if we can track this. The Lord spoke to Jonah. He didn't like what he heard. So he ran away from God. There is a connection between refusing to listen to God's word and distance in your relationship with God. Very important to see that. That the more disinterested Jonah was in hearing the word of the Lord and putting it into practice, the further he was getting from the Lord in his relationship. Now, you and I both know, if he's going to Tarshish, he's just crossing the Mediterranean Sea, going around the Rock of Gibraltar and going to a port city just around the corner. Like, that is going to get you away from the presence of the Lord. We think when we sit down to a particular form of entertainment that the Lord is in Jerusalem instead of in our family room. But you cannot escape the presence of the Lord. The key in determining your direction in your relationship with God is not how you feel about God, not how you feel when you're at church, but how you treat the Word of God. That's the key, and that is the first thing that God brings up when he shares with us this account. From God's perspective, God is looking at Jonah saying, my word went to Jonah. He didn't like what I said. Now he's out of dodge. God's going to correct that. But the circumstance that is going to surround Jonah is going to let him know, you shouldn't do that to the word of God. You should be very careful about the word of the Lord. So his circumstances, being in the boat, and we'll see a storm coming up, and we'll see the provision of a great fish, we'll see, vomiting. And then finally, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah again, chapter 3, and this time he listens. So there's three things I want to share with you about Jonah and his reaction to the word of the Lord, and see if there's not an application that we can make to our day and time. So I'm going to skip forward just a minute. There's three important lessons here, and I wasn't going to write these out, but I decided to in case you want to jot them down. Jonah's intentions with the Word of God revealed his interest in the person of God. Jonah's intentions with the Word of God revealed his interest in the person of God. Most of us, and I think this would be 100% true of everyone here, the less interested you are in a person, the less intentions you have to listen to them. Now you can watch, just to test this, watch a news program. There are some people delivering news that I don't know if it's their voice, I don't know if it's the way they behave, their mannerisms. It's just like, oh, I just am not interested in what they have to say. And usually we'll just flip to another channel or just walk away. Our interest in a person affects our intentions in listening to them. Jonah was not intending to listen to God. And what that really means is not that he's hard of hearing or he just doesn't know how to communicate. It's that he was not interested in the person of God. If God is who he says he is, when he speaks, we all listen. Amen? At least that's the way it's supposed to be. So, when God speaks, if we are into the person of God, we will have intentions to listen to his word. That's just the way it goes, and there's no way around it. Second thing, Jonah's disinterest in the word of God signaled the direction in which he was heading. If he would have been interested in the person and the word of God, he would not be heading west. He would be heading east. He was disinterested in what God was asking him to do, and so his direction was to get as far away from God as he thought he could. Now, to him, God was geographic. He only was in the land of Israel. And so if I can get out of Israel, I can get far away from God. And the further I get away, the freer I will be. Many people still live like that. We were at a conference. It wasn't a conference as much as it was a retreat at a place called The Lodge in Buchanan, Michigan. Todd and Cindy were kind enough to send us to that one year. And Shirley and I went. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Does Live Action own that? Does Life Action own that? Okay. Life Action Ministries owns that. And so we were there. And there were people there who, one couple who were there, that preached at a church for the deaf, the entire church. Deaf church. And so they would sign everything. And once we got to kind of know each other, I think it was the second day in, I worked up the courage to say to him, how do you know if they're listening to you when they can't hear you? And he did this. I know when they've stopped listening, when they fold their arms and close their eyes. We signal our interest in listening to God by what we do with the Word of God. And He knows perfectly what's going on. You can say that little bit of dust on the cover of your Bible means that you're using another Bible, but you can't fool God. Well, I have it on my phone. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Do you use the Bible? Do you listen to it? Because that will tell you the direction you're heading from the person of God. So if perhaps you are vaguely familiar with the Word of God, but have no further interest in it, you're making a very definite statement to God about what you think of His personhood and what you think of His purposes. Now, we don't want to make this a legalistic bar somehow that we've got to get over or around or whatever. I'm not talking about that, and you know that. I'm talking about a genuine interest in the things of God and what He has to say. Now, you do that by intention and not by accident. If you sit at church and you expect me to say something that, I'm kind of interested in that, I think I will look that up. No. One time I came to church, and it was a church that we had started in Illinois. And one of the elders walked in, and we were talking about getting ready for worship. And, you know, we all have ways that we get ready for worship. And he said, you know, Chuck, I'm not ready to worship when I come to worship. I expect you to get me ready to worship. I filed that in the round file of debris. I am not responsible for anybody's interest and intention in the Word of God. God has spoken, and everything and everybody should be on high alert. What did he say? And what does it mean? So that's the reason the Navigators, a ministry that does an excellent job at encouraging people in the consumption and the use of God's Word. They have five fingers. Hear it. So you hear it being taught. You read it yourself. You memorize it yourself. You meditate on it yourself. And then we say, you share it with somebody else. It's called a firm grasp of God's Word. Hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, and share. Six-fingered man. It shows how interested you are in the person of God. So, how are you doing? Brought an illustration. I hope this doesn't get... Well, I hope this works. Okay? Gracie was in charge of the garden this year. Gabe even helped a little bit. And they actually planted two types of... Well, Gabe helped with one type, and I think, Grace, you did the sweet potatoes on your own. Anyway, Gabe and Grace planted Yukon Golds. Last year, not so good. This year, we got some pretty good time. We got some honking big potatoes out of the ground. It was amazing. And this is one of the small ones. Now, I left the dirt on. I just didn't do anything to this because I wanted it for this morning. Such an interesting potato. Surely has been. And I think Gabe got in on this, and Sarah's or Lydia's been on this. You get a little brush and you just brush all the dirt off and then you leave it. You don't wash it ahead of time. You do that later, but get all the dirt off and then you lay them out, dry them, and save them. So this one I grabbed real quick because I wanted this one. Now this potato is interesting for this reason. I usually pick them up and I just give them a squeeze to see if they're firm. Because, you know, soft doesn't always work with potatoes unless you've already cooked them. Then you don't want hard, you want soft, right? Okay. So I picked this one up, and I gave it the little squeeze. Now, is this on, Tim? Is it on? This one's on, I know. Is this one on? Okay, I'm going to turn this around. I hope you can hear this. I hope. I may need some wipes, baby. I'm doing that. Listen. There's my potato. I don't think we'll have that for lunch today. I'd give you the other half, but it's nasty. I think I'm okay. Okay. When you pretend about this book and the God of that book, you're nothing more than that potato. You're a shell that is decaying on the inside and you don't even know it. till God grabs you, harvests you, and gives you a squeeze, and finds nothing inside. The outside is perfectly complete, looked like a perfectly good potato. But let me tell you something. If you are disinterested in this book, you are nothing more than a rotten potato. And you better get things cleaned up. You can blame me all you want to about the way you feel. And I can blame you all I want to about the way that I feel about you. None of that changes this book. And it does not change our responsibility to it. Because this is all about not my relationship with my wife. It is about my relationship with my Savior and my God. If I am not interested in Him, His Word is not important to me. And so you can look at your response to His Word and you can track the direction of your life. It's that simple. When your disinterest in the Word of God is greater than your digestion of the Word of God, faith is fracturing. And you may not even know it until the test comes. And some people will go the entirety of their life pretending that they're all about this book. And in their heart, and you can see it written all over them, they are not interested in the person of God. Because they don't want to hear what He has to say. We do not want to become this potato. We want to become people, and this is the reason I started with the scripture that we did. We want to be adding to our faith virtue and knowledge and insight and temperance, gentleness, brotherly affection, and love. For if we have those things in increasing measure, they will keep us from being unfruitful in our knowledge or unproductive of in our knowledge of Him. But those who lack those things are short-sighted and cannot see far off and have forgotten that they have been saved from their sins. So, dear ones, be careful in our day and time about how people handle the Word. I normally don't do this, but I'm going to this morning. Shirley has found something for me. She read it to me, and I forget now when and where. But it's about a woman is writing this, and it was about a seminar that she went to, and she contrasted and compared two of the presenters that were there. Okay, that's the context. I'm going to read her response after going to this seminar and hearing two other women, one older and one younger, presenting their talk. Please listen carefully, because I think we're not always in the right place in our culture these days. A while ago, I went to a women's conference in another state with some of my relatives. We heard two different Bible teachers speak. Both of these women had written books. Both were well known, but that is where the similarities ended. One woman was older. In fact, she was in her 80s. She spoke first. She shared her heart for us younger women. She shared from the Word of God. She spoke of women to whom she had ministered in countries where believers are being persecuted. Her voice broke as she spoke of the sisters in Christ living under the constant threat of imprisonment and death. You could see the love she carried for them. She spoke of Christ and the gospel Her knowledge of the word was evident, and her talk was so full of scripture that she just seemed to breathe it out. I left her session with a heart yearning for Christ. I left with a clear picture of what I want to look like if the Lord should give me the gift of old age. Decades of walking with Jesus had made her one of the most wise and gentle-spirited women I had ever seen. The next speaker was a young woman. She stood up and immediately launched into funny stories about herself. She talked about her trips she had taken, the trips she had taken. She dropped names of famous people she'd shared a stage with. She told more stories about herself. At one point, she decided to work in a little bit of Bible. So she wedged in a story about Noah and the ark and how much he had to leave, or he must have felt as he saw everything floating away. There goes the house. There goes the tabernacle. That's an interesting statement, since there wasn't one then. She let that hang as it was in the air, as if going in time to really make an impact. I sat there in my seat, wondering how the tabernacle could have been floating by when it wouldn't be built for over 1,000 years. I tried to hang in there and gave her the benefit of the doubt. I gave up after the lunch session. After her talk, a couple of us had tickets to go to the more personal luncheon with her and sit in her Q&A. During that session, we got to hear even more about all the famous people she knew. She shared about different shows that she had appeared on and lectured on. She told us that other women came up to her and say, "I loved your book," to which she replied, "Which one, girl? I've written 11. I so deeply wish that I was making this up. It got harder and harder to me to swallow the food I was picking up from my plate the longer she spoke. The final straw was when she told us that she wanted to have her own network someday and be bigger than Oprah. As we left the event, there were two tables set up. The older woman was at one table, waiting to talk and pray with women that came by out of their sessions. The younger woman was at a table loaded with her books, signing autographs, taking selfies with women who had purchased a book. She was standing in front of a great giant banner with a blown-up picture of her own face on it. Here is the part that I grieved at the most. The line at her table was 3 or 4 people wide and out the door onto the sidewalk. There was no one in the line of the older woman. As I looked at that scene, I thought that this is the problem. This is why we as a church are living on starvation rations of the word. This is why we're spiritually weak and we cannot discern when a pretty face is lying to us while holding a Bible. It's because we love the wrong things. We elevate youth, beauty. We want funny stories more than we want to be wise. We want our teachers to tell us jokes that will make us laugh. We don't want to weep over our sin. As God says, the heart of the wise is in a house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in a house of pleasure. We want to be empowered more than we want to be humble. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We don't want the truth. We want to be lied to. We would never admit that out loud, but at the core, it feels better to be lied to than to be told the truth. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears, want to hear. They will neglect the truth and chase after myths. The truth is that apart from Jesus, we have no good thing. We are not the hope of the world. Jesus is. Outside of Him, we are dark-hearted, futile-minded, enemies of God, contrary to what the pep rally, girl power, life coach, Bible teachers tell us. We are not the ones who will change the world. Only Jesus will do that. He Himself says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from Me, you can do nothing. In other words, God asks us to remain in Him. He asks us to chase His heart. He asks us to know His word and deeply abide in that. Out of that union, that closeness, real fruit grows. Real impact will occur. But even then, it's all about Him. It's not ever about us. There is never a point in which it is okay for us to raise our own name. We raise only His name like a banner. We are to be here for His glory, not our own. We are called to tell people to follow Christ, not ourselves.